ever bought a used car. You know, the seller's all like, it's perfect, runs like a dream. But then you see a little rust, right? Maybe even think, that's not good. But the deal's just too good to pass up. So you buy it. And then, surprise, surprise, the whole thing falls apart because of that rust. Could you sue?
Well, it's a question of warranties and reliance, but yeah, there's actually a fascinating legal case kind of like that. CBS v. Ziff Davis. Only instead of a car, we're talking about a whole magazine
A
empire.
magazine empire, huh? Sounds a little more glamorous than my rusty car analogy. So set the scene for us. What happened?
Okay, so picture this. It's 1984. Big hair, shoulder pads, the whole deal. And CBS is about to buy Ziff Davis's magazine division for, get this, $362.5 million. Big money, even by today's standards.
Wow, that's a hefty price tag. I'm guessing Ziff Davis was painting a pretty rosy picture of their finances.
Oh, absolutely. They assured CBS everything was rock solid, financially sound, a great investment. But, like you said, with that used car, sometimes things aren't quite what they seem.
Uh-oh, I'm sensing a plot twist here. What went wrong?
Well, just 4 days before the deal was supposed to close, CBS's due diligence team uncovers some, shall we say, accounting discrepancies.
Oof, that's got to be a sinking feeling. So what does CBS do? They were probably freaking out, right?
You would think so, but they were in a tough spot. Ziff Davis basically threatened to sue if they pulled out. So CBS decided to go ahead with the acquisition, but, and this is key, they reserved the right to sue later.
Smart move. So even though they had doubts, they still went through with it, hoping to sort it out later. Did it work? Did they win the lawsuit?
They did. This case went all the way to the New York Court of Appeals, and their decision basically changed the M&A world. It all hinged on this idea of express warranties.
Express warranties sounds like legal jargon. Break it down for us non-lawyers.
Basically, they're like rock-solid promises written right into the contract. Ziff Davis guaranteed their financial statements were accurate, and the court said CBS had the right to rely on those guarantees, even if they had some doubts.
So even if you have a hunch something's off, if the other side makes a clear promise in writing, you're protected.
Exactly. And this is where things get interesting. The court's decision kind of legitimized this tactic called sandbagging.
Sandbagging, huh? Tell me more, because that sounds a little, well, sneaky.
It can be. Basically, it's when a buyer suspects there might be problems, but they close the deal anyway, knowing they have this legal ace up their sleeve, the ability to sue later based on those warranties.
So it's like, I see your little game, but I'm going to play along for now and get you later.
In a nutshell, yeah. The court was basically saying, look, Ziff Davis made these promises, they need to stand by them. But as you can imagine, there was a lot of debate about whether this was fair.
Yeah, I bet that decision really ruffled some feathers. So this sandbagging thing, was it a common tactic before CBS v. Ziff Davis? Or did this case really put it on the map?
It definitely existed before, but this case really brought it into the spotlight. After CBS v. Ziff Davis, sellers became a lot more careful about what they promised in contracts. They knew buyers could sue even if they had some pre-existing suspicions.
So it shifted the power dynamic in M&A deals, giving buyers more leverage. Fascinating. But let's dig a little deeper into the legal arguments here. What exactly convinced the court to side with CBS?
The majority opinion really emphasized these express warranties as the basis of the bargain, a fundamental part of the entire agreement. They were saying CBS relied on those promises as much as, if not more than, the price itself.
So it wasn't just about the money, it was about trust and certainty in the deal. But I'm guessing there were some people who disagreed with this decision.
Oh, absolutely. There was a pretty strong dissenting opinion that argued this ruling could create a system where buyers intentionally stay quiet about their doubts, just waiting to pounce with a lawsuit later.
I can see their point. It doesn't seem very ethical, does it?
Yeah.
Kind of goes against the idea of good faith in business dealings.
Right, and that's the tension at the heart of this case, certainty versus fairness. The dissenters felt that if CBS knew the financials were shaky, they shouldn't be able to benefit from the deal and then turn around and sue.
So it's this classic legal dilemma,
Yeah.
sticking to the letter of the contract versus ensuring fairness and justice. But beyond all the legal theory, how did this case actually change the game for M&A deals in the real world?
Well, it had this huge ripple effect, changing how these high-stakes deals are structured. You see, before CBS v. Ziff Davis, sellers felt somewhat protected if the buyer knew about a problem before closing, but this case flipped the script.
So sellers had to up their game. How did they adapt?
They started adding what we call anti-sandbagging clauses to their contracts, basically trying to explicitly say, hey, if you knew about this problem beforehand, you can't sue us. It was a way to regain some of the ground they lost.
Makes sense, but I bet buyers weren't just going to sit back and take that, were they?
Of course not. They started pushing back, trying to add language that preserved their right to sue, even with pre-closing knowledge. It became this battle of contract wording. And in most cases, the courts basically said, look, whatever you two agree to in writing, that's what we'll enforce.
So it turned contract drafting into a high-stakes game. Every word, every comma could make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And that's why having a skilled lawyer on your side is so important in these deals. They can navigate this legal minefield and help you achieve your goals while minimizing risk.
It's incredible how one court case can have such a huge impact, shaping entire industries and changing how business is done.
And what makes CBS v. Ziff Davis even more fascinating is that it's not just some dusty old case from the 80s. It's still relevant today. These issues are still being debated, and the legal landscape continues to evolve.
So it's a reminder that law is a living, breathing thing. It's not just about rules in a textbook. It's about how we apply those rules to real-world situations that are always changing.
Exactly. And sometimes those situations can get pretty messy with no easy answers.
Well, we've definitely seen that with CBS v. Ziff Davis. And I think this is a good place to pause our deep dive for now. But our exploration isn't over yet. In part two, we'll look at how the rules around sandbagging play out in different states. Because, as you mentioned, things aren't always the same everywhere.
That's right. It gets even more complex when you start looking at different jurisdictions. So stay tuned. There's much more to uncover.
All right. So we're back, diving deeper into the wild world of CBS v. Ziff Davis and this whole sandbagging thing. You mentioned last time that the rules can be different depending on where you are.
Exactly. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation. Remember, this case went down in New York.
Right. And New York seems pretty pro-buyer, at least when it comes to sandbagging.
Yeah, they generally favor the buyer's right to sue, even if there were some, you know, pre-closing doubts. It's what we legal eagles call a pro-sandbagging approach. But that doesn't mean every state sees it the same way.
So the same set of facts, the same contract, could have a different outcome in another state.
Yep. That's the beauty, or maybe the headache, of the U.S. legal system. It's like a giant puzzle with different rules in each state. That's why those choice of law clauses in contracts are so important.
Choice of law. You have to explain that one for us.
Sure. It's basically like picking which state's rule book you want to use for your deal. It can make a huge difference in how a dispute is resolved.
Okay, starting to get the picture. So if New York is on the pro-sandbagging side, what's an example of a state that sees things differently?
Delaware's a good one. It's this like hub for corporate law, and their courts have a more, I'd say, nuanced take on sandbagging.
Nuanced, huh? Does that mean they're more pro-seller?
Not necessarily pro-seller, but definitely more focused on making sure things are fair and transparent, you know, no funny business. Delaware courts have said a lot of times that a buyer can't sue for a breach of warranty if they knew about the problem before they closed the deal.
Whoa, hold on. So even if the contract says the buyer can sue, even with a pro-sandbagging clause, Delaware might say, nope, not if you're playing coy.
Exactly. Delaware puts a big emphasis on good faith and fair dealing. They want to see both sides acting honestly and openly, not trying to pull a fast one.
So it's not enough to just have the right words in the contract. You got to play by the rules, act in good faith.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance, making sure no one's getting tricked or, you know, taken advantage of.
Man, this is complicated. I can see how you lawyers earn your keep. How do you even keep track of all these different state laws? It's enough to make your head spin.
That's why you need those experienced legal eagles in your corner. A good lawyer knows the ins and outs of each state, and they can draft contracts that, you know, minimize the risk of things going sideways.
So it's not just about knowing the law. It's about using it strategically.
Yeah.
Like a legal chess match, right?
Huh. I like that. And remember, it's not always about winning or losing. It's about finding solutions that work for everyone involved. Something that's, you know, fair and reasonable.
All right, that makes sense. So we've been talking a lot about the legal stuff, the technicalities, but I want to bring it back to the human element here, because behind all these contracts and court cases are real people, right? Mm-hmm. People making decisions, taking risks.
Oh, absolutely. We can't forget that. It's easy to get lost in the legal jargon, but these are real life stories with real life consequences.
Right. Like, think about the CEO of CBS in this case. About to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, and then boom, these red flags pop up. What a nightmare.
Talk about pressure. You've got your board, your shareholders, your employees all breathing down your neck. Do you trust your gut, walk away, risk losing millions? Or do you push ahead, hope for the best? Tough call.
And on the flip side, you've got the folks at Ziff Davis, maybe trying to secure their future, maybe even their employees' livelihoods. They know there might be problems, but, you know, they're hoping to close that deal anyway.
Classic conflict of interest. Everyone's trying to do what they think is best for themselves.
And that's where the law steps in, right?
Yeah.
Set some ground rules, make sure everyone's playing fair.
Exactly. But even with laws, you still need people to make ethical choices. It's a reminder that even in business, it's not just about the bottom line. You got to have integrity.
Well said. I think this is a good spot to take a breath, reflect on what we've learned so far. But don't go anywhere. In part three, we'll wrap up our deep dive into CBS v. Ziff Davis, exploring its lasting legacy and what we can all learn from this fascinating case.
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into CBS v. Ziff Davis. It's been a wild ride, right? From sandbagging to express warranties, we've covered a lot of ground.
We have. And, you know, it's amazing how this one case from all the way back in 1984 is still shaping how deals are done today. Like, it's not just a history lesson. It's still relevant.
Totally. And beyond all the legal tactics and strategies, there are some big picture lessons here. Stuff that applies whether you're, you know, a high-powered CEO or just buying a used lawnmower from your neighbor.
Absolutely. I mean, the big one that jumps out at me is due diligence. Do your homework, people.
Right.
Trust but verify. Classic advice. But it holds up, especially after seeing what happened in CBS v. Ziff Davis.
Couldn't agree more. It's like, even the best contract in the world can't protect you if the underlying facts are, you know, a house of cards.
Totally. So due diligence is more than just going through the motions. It's about, like, being skeptical, digging deeper, poking around for those potential problems.
Exactly. It's about protecting yourself legally and financially. Oh. And making those informed decisions, not just jumping in blindly.
All right. So due diligence. Check.
Yeah.
What else can we learn from this case?
Well, the power of words. Contracts, man, they're all about language. Clear, precise language. Especially when you're dealing with these complex concepts like warranties or indemnities.
Right. Like one little word, one comma out of place, and the whole meaning can change.
It's crazy. And that's where having a good lawyer comes in. They can, you know, guide you through that legal maze, make sure your contract actually says what you think it says.
So law is kind of an art form, isn't it? It's not just about knowing the rules. It's about how you use them.
Exactly. And a good lawyer is not just focused on winning or losing. It's about finding solutions that work for everyone. Something fair, something reasonable.
Makes sense. Okay, so we've talked about due diligence. We've talked about contracts. But CBS v. Ziff Davis also brings up some interesting questions about, like, fairness in business, right?
Oh, yeah. That whole sandbagging issue is a thorny one.
Because on the one hand, you've got this idea that buyers should be able to rely on a seller's promises, even if they have some doubts. It's about upholding contracts, making sure agreements mean something.
Right. But then there's the flip side. What if that gives buyers too much power? Like, what if they intentionally stay quiet about problems, hoping to get a bigger payout later?
Yeah, that doesn't seem very fair, does it?
Not really. So it's this balancing act. Protecting the buyer's right to rely on a promise, but also making sure the seller isn't getting, you know, totally screwed over.
And as we've seen, different states have different ways of striking that balance.
Yep. It's a patchwork quilt of laws out there. Makes things interesting, that's for sure.
It's a good reminder that law isn't always black and white. There's a lot of gray area, a lot of room for interpretation.
And that's what keeps it exciting, right? It's not just rote memorization. It's about thinking critically, analyzing different perspectives.
Totally. Okay, well, I think we've done a pretty thorough job dissecting CBS v. Ziff Davis. We've looked at the case, the arguments, the impact it's had. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Just this. CBS v. Ziff Davis is a great example of how law is always evolving. Like, it adapts to new situations, it reflects changing values, it's not static.
Which means we all need to keep learning, keep up with those changes.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, law is about people. It's a tool we use to try to create a, you know, a fairer, more just world.
Well said. Thanks so much for joining me on this deep dive. It's been a fascinating conversation.
The pleasure was all mine. And for all you listeners out there, keep those legal minds sharp.